Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and welcome to the show. We are going to get right to a guest, which we typically don't do. I don't know if you've seen When They See Us. It's a Netflix original miniseries. And Kevin Richardson, Antron McRae, Raymond Santana, Corey Wise, and our guest today, Yousef Salam. Hello, Yousef. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's everything going? I'm definitely so glad to be on your radio right now.
I am so glad to speak to you. I didn't know much about the Central Park Five. I'll be honest with you. This was back in 1989. There was a female jogger that was assaulted and raped in Central Park. And you served how many years in jail for this?
Almost 7 years, actually. And then when you think about really doing the complete time, it was 10 years altogether. They gave us a 5 to 10 year prison sentence, those of us who were under the age of 16. And, of course, Corey Wise, he served the most time out of all of us, almost serving 14 years.
All right. And it turns out you guys didn't do it.
Yes. Yes. Deoxyribonucleic acid freed us.
Explain
that. What does that mean exactly? How were you freed by that?
I usually say that word because a lot of times when people hear DNA, DNA tends to be, DNA. It doesn't really sound that powerful, but DNA is deoxyribonucleic acid. And what happens is that when they had all of the information they had back in 1989, they tested all of the evidence that was on the jogger. They arrested Raymond Santana and Kevin Richardson that night. So you would imagine that if a rape had happened or if something had happened, you know, there will be some glaring evidence that would show that they had been there, that they had done something. It would have been an open and closed case. They only had false confessions. And the worst part about it is that by them keeping in line with this false narrative, here you had seasoned detectives that, you know, you couldn't even be assigned to this particular squad unless you had been on the job for approximately 20 years. So I say that because these were experts in their field. And as experts, they needed to be able to discern whether someone was lying or telling the truth. And I'm sure that they did that, and they knew that there were false narratives that were being gotten. The problem is that 13 years after this crime happened, the real perpetrator comes forward after seeing Corey Wise in prison and says, oh, my goodness, I got to tell the truth about this. I didn't know this guy was still in prison for the crime that I had committed. He had been going to church and trying to atone for all of these sins that he had done, some known, some unknown. Then he bumps into Corey for the second time and sees him and says, I got to tell the truth. He tells the truth. They check his DNA evidence, and lo and behold, it is a DNA match. The worst part about this crime, though, is that because they were so invested in this lie back in 1989, the real perpetrator was out there committing more crimes. The last victim he raped and murdered was a young pregnant Latina woman. You know, he killed her and her unborn child.
And here's the thing. First of all, watching this, how old were you when you were arrested? Were you 14 or 15?
I was 15 years old.
Okay, and it's heartbreaking that your good friend Corey went to accompany you for questioning, and he, since he was 16, he went to an adult prison, which, as a mom, I'm watching this and I'm crying because 16 years old with these hardcore men in prison, how could that have happened?
Right, and this is something that I want the public to continuously put in their mind and at their forefront. We were 14, 15, and 16-year-old children. It wasn't like we were hardened criminals. The way that the system vilified us made us into the pariahs that they wanted us to become. That moniker that they placed on us, that we were known for years, for decades, as the Central Park Five, was lifted just recently, when Oprah Winfrey rebranded us as the Exonerated Five. And it was such a good feeling to feel that, to be able to say, wow, you know, we have something that is clear, that is present, that identifies us as who we really are. And it was a powerful thing for us to be rebranded and have been given a new identity that is beyond a doubt the truth.
Isn't it amazing, Yousef, that it's just terminology, but it's such strong terminology that just the difference between being referred to as Central Park Five or Exonerated Five, it makes a world of difference. Isn't that strange?
It is absolutely strange. And I'm going to tell you, like, had we had had we been afforded the opportunity to be seen as innocent until proven guilty, we would not have received the fate that we had received, especially Corey Wise. Corey Wise didn't deserve any of that. You know, him being my ace in a hole, him being my good friend, him being someone who truly had my back, going into the precinct with me, saying, hey, I'll go there with you, not knowing the danger that lurks in that particular process. You know, here you have the Miranda warnings that states you have the right to remain silent. And if you fail to remain silent, part two kicks in. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney. And then, of course, they always say, hey, you know, only guilty people need attorneys. But when you look at all of the things that happen to us, when you look at even the methodologies that they used in the interrogation process, the Reed technique, I understand that the Reed technique comes with a disclaimer that says, be careful who you use this technique against, because if you use it against someone who is innocent, it will cause them to confess to a crime that they didn't commit. And then you look at the film, and you get to understand very clearly what this technique is all about. Here you are handcuffed to a chair. Here you have an officer so close to you that as he's talking to you and yelling in your face, he can spit on you, and you can't even wipe the spit off of your face because you're handcuffed to a chair. You know, the invasion of personal space, the fear of sudden death, all of the lies that were told that caused people to doubt themselves. You're talking about almost upwards of 24 to 36 hours of interrogation without food, without anything to drink. And if you fell asleep, you were immediately woken up after you fell asleep. And so you began to live in this world of deliriousness, and you just wanted it to stop. You know, adults have confessed to crimes that they haven't committed under this technique, which is so atrocious.
Oh, my God. I would confess to anything to get out of there. And given the illusion that just cooperate with us and you're going home. I mean, there was so much of that. And how could they talk to you guys without a parent present? That's what I don't get. And has that changed?
It has changed a bit. And see, that's the problem. We, as victims of the criminal justice system, we want all of the lessons learned from the Central Park Jogger case to become part of the fabric and fiber of the criminal justice system moving forward. That being said, I think it behooves us, even if a person wants to come in and talk to the police officers, we need liaisons in the community that have no connection to police officers to be able to help these people, help someone in this process to understand what it is that they're doing, process it correctly, because even in the event of you having a parent there, I mean, you see the Central Park Jogger case, there were many parents that were there, but did we know our rights? Yeah. My mother was the only one that seemed like she was kind of familiar to a sense or to a degree as to what she could do and how she could stand up for me in the face of adversity. And I think that that's something important. You know, as a part of the process, we want to make sure, like I said, that the most vulnerable of our citizens are afforded the opportunity to be seen as innocent until proven guilty. Even if they're seen as a suspect, even if they're caught red-handed, we still need to have them be afforded the opportunity to have proper representation, because as we all know, we live in two divided Americas.
Yep.
It's clear and present. You could be Dylann Roof, shoot up a church, and they'll take you out to get some dinner prior to you going to jail. Or you could be Takesha Clemons trying to get something to eat and asking for a fork and a knife at a Waffle House, and your top be ripped off, and you be choked, and you be told that they're going to break your arm, and now you're being prosecuted. I mean, these are some of the glaring examples. You know, of course, we have the Trayvon Martins of the world, the Tamir Rices of the world, the Eric Garners of the world. I mean, shoot, in New York State and really throughout the nation, you have on the side of cop cars these words in some variation. The words are to serve and protect, the most noble and honorable thing that you can think of. I guarantee that there are probably way more good cops than there are bad cops. But on the side of the cop cars in New York City, you have the words that accompany to serve and protect: courtesy, professionalism, and respect. Now, imagine if you're Eric Garner and you're telling the officers, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. We watched as his life was taken from him. And they didn't give him the first letters off of the cop car. They didn't give him CPR. Now, that right there tells us where we are, what they think of us, the problems that we need to overcome. And I think that as we look at the kaleidoscope of the human family who wants justice, who wants to be able to live in harmony, who wants to be able to live in peace, those people who happen to be children of former slave owners, children of former slaves, they look at the future and say, we need to make sure that we are given an opportunity to live in peace and harmony. And that can only happen with true justice, true equality, true freedom. And a lot of the legislation that has been backing some of the practices that we see has to change. We have to attack it from a point that is agreeable in this country, which is voting, which is legislation. And we have to understand that even if we don't want to vote, even if we think that our votes are going to be taken from us or stolen, we have to understand that non-participation is participation, because this is how the rest of the country operates.
Yusuf Salam is on with us, a member of the now called Exonerated Five. I'm telling you, you have to see When They See Us. It's a Netflix original series. Are you good on time? Can we take a quick break and continue and talk about your appearance at the Chicago Ideas Week?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
It is Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 720 and it's WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we are talking with one of the members of the Exonerated Five, Yusuf Salam. And you will be at Chicago Ideas Week tomorrow night. Actually, tomorrow from noon to 1:30. It's at the Harris Theater. You can go to chicagoideas.com to find out about tickets and the times for everything. When They See Us is on Netflix. I watched it. It was moving. It just really touched me. And I have to be honest with you, Yusuf, I didn't know all the details. I was familiar with the Central Park Five, but I did not know what transpired.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to be honest with you, when we look at how cases of the Black or the African and American experience has been, especially when it comes to, you know, the criminal justice system, much of what happens goes under the radar, meaning we hear about it sort of. It's socialized in society, sort of, but then the reality is that it's quickly swept under the rug, and so you forget. You're not told about, say, for instance, you know, the reality of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and what he represented. A lot of times you're kind of told about the idea of his speech, which became the I Have a Dream speech. But then when you really listen to that speech, you realize Dr. Martin Luther King was a very radical person. Even now, as we reread that speech, I heard a young girl we were at a function one night recently, and I heard her read the speech from memory. And it was so profound to hear a future mover and shaker share Dr. King's words. You know, I think that it's important for us to remember who we are and where we came from. It does a lot to keep us in the right perspective and frame of mind, especially as young people, because a lot of the young people today, they feel like they're living in a world of hopelessness. They have realized that in our communities, we've been told that we are going to be dead or in jail before we reach the age of 21. But no one I have ever heard or ever asked has ever raised their hand to say, you know what? Yeah, I planned that. I plan to be dead or in jail before I reach the age of 21. So if we didn't plan that, then what's really happening? What's happening is that we're playing out someone else's plan, someone else's desires, someone else's ideas on us. And I think that what happens, especially when I think about what happened to me with regards to the Central Park Jogger case, 6 months into my prison bid, I was asked a question that changed the trajectory of my life. It was a question that gave me total control over myself, that if even though I was still in bondage physically, my mind became free. I was able to meditate and think about things from a completely different perspective. And I think it changed everything, because then I began to realize that I had the ability to project my own self into my future. they were looking at my future self, and they were trying to make sure that I killed myself, either spiritually, physically, or mentally. And for me, I had to make sure that that didn't happen, that even though we're living in a world that looks hopeless, I had to look at the positive. I had to look and say, I want to plant seeds in my future to make sure that the outcome is very, very favorable for me. And that's one of the things that I tell young people all the time. You know, you may be here, but I want you to think about success in such a way that you begin to have a vision board in your mind, that you meditate on it every day, that you look like you have a lucky life. When you realize that the tricks, the magic is that you're laboring under correct knowledge. And so lucky stands for, or lucky luck becomes an acronym, which stands for laboring under correct knowledge. And you begin to move in that reality. You begin to say to yourself, you know what? You only live once. That's true. But let me make this my best life. Let me plant seeds in the future of myself and my generations so that even if I become a Nipsey Hussle and I get taken out early, at least my children's children's children will be able to sit under the shade of the trees from those seeds that I planted.
You are such an inspiration. I can't even tell you. I know you got monetary compensation. I just don't know how you forgive and how you live with the guilt about Corey. I mean, you are just such an amazing man to move forward from this.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think about just in terms of Corey himself, he did that for me, and I always have his back. You know, I am his ace in the hole. If I can offer any help mentally, physically, spiritually, I'm always there for him. We're very good friends, actually. We still have remained friends to this day. We were the only two that knew each other going in. We were able to reunite and reconnect with each other coming out of that hellhole and that atrocity. They definitely separated us, and as you saw in the film, we couldn't even communicate, even though his mother wanted us to be able to share words, at least on paper. It was illegal for us to communicate, so we couldn't even maintain a relationship from afar. You know, the thing about being angry and bitter and being able to forgive, one of the things that I remember reading was the words of Nelson Mandela. And what he said was, after being in jail for 27 years, he said he had to leave bitterness and anger in the prison, because if he took it outside of the prison into the world, it would destroy him. And then I remember reading the words of Dr. Maya Angelou, and she said, you should be angry. And, you know, when you think about angry, anger is the thing that causes you to change your condition. You know, when they say, you know, God doesn't change the condition of a people until they change it for themselves. Once you take a step forward to changing your condition, then all of a sudden things begin to happen. It's like a domino effect. But what she said, Dr. Maya Angelou, was that she said, you should be angry. You must not be bitter. She said, bitterness is like a cancer. It eats upon the host. It doesn't do anything to the object of its displeasure. And then she gives us the action. She says, so use that anger. You dance it. You march it. You vote it. You vote it. You vote it. And of course, she didn't say it three times, but I'm echoing it three times because we're in that climate right now. We have to maintain our understanding of where we are and what we need to be about. But she said, you vote it. She said, you do everything about it. And then she said, you talk it. Never stop talking it. And when I read that, I said, wow. For years, they owned the narrative of who the Central Park Five were. When are we going to be able to stand up and tell the world who we are? And once we did, once we got the opportunity to do that through Ava DuVernay's masterful work, it's When Amazing. They See Us, you know, we got the opportunity not only to tell our story, but for the conversation to be a ripple around the globe, for everyone around the world to be talking about the Exonerated Five, for everyone around the world to be sending us love, to be sending us appreciation, to try to understand what the American criminal justice system is about. Why couldn't I, you know, maintain relations with Corey Wise on paper? You know, here was a friend of mine who went into prison for me.
I know. Yusuf,
I couldn't return the favor.
I'm telling you right now, I wish we had all day to talk to you, and we are out of time. You are such an inspiration to so many people. ChicagoIdeas.com. You can catch more of Yusuf Salam at Chicago Ideas tomorrow from noon to 1:30 at the Harris Theater. Please keep in touch with us. It was an honor to talk to you.
I will, and just to let people know, you can follow me on social media. I use my real name. You can also follow me on my website, yusufspeaks.com.
God bless. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ides of March is waiting in the PPG Paints Green Room. They will be on with us after the news, and we are totally going to switch gears. We're all over the board today. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. It's 720 WGN.